Chapter 22. Dooley Green looked up from the outboard motor he'd been repairing at the end of the dock, and his mouth widened in a gap-toothed grin when he saw the young Asian woman coming his way. "Afternoon, Doctor," he said. "Going to take another crack at that pink bird?" Dr. Lee tapped the zoom lens of the digital camera hanging from a strap around her neck. "Yes, Dooley. You know how determined I am to get a photo of that beautiful roseate spoonbill." "Spoonbills can be cagey, all right," he said. "Kayak's waiting for you. I'll fetch your gear." Dooley put his screwdriver down and got a kayak paddle and flotation vest from the boat shed. He and Lee walked along the beach to where a light blue fiberglass touring kayak sat on the sand with its bow partway in the water. Lee slipped her arms through the vest and snapped the buckles, then eased her slender body into the cockpit. Dooley handed her the paddle and pushed the craft into the water. "I'll probably be back on the mainland by the time you get back, so just put your gear in the shed. Good luck with that spoonbill," Dooley called out. "And watch out for Granddaddy Gator." Lee acknowledged the warning with an airy wave of the paddle. "Thank you, Dooley. I'll keep an eye out for him." The warning was a private joke. When Song Li first arrived on Bonefish Key from China, Dooley told her about the monster alligator lurking in the mangroves. Seeing from her startled expression that she believed his tall tale, he had quickly explained that no alligator had been seen around Bonefish Key for decades. Dooley watched Lee paddle the kayak to the mouth of the inlet and thought how fond he had become of the young Chinese scientist. He wasn't too old to appreciate her flower-like beauty, but his interest was far from prurient. Lee was around 30, the same age as a daughter who had disowned him years before. He had quit drinking after running the family shrimp business aground on the shoals of gin, poker, and a series of wives, but he and his daughter were still estranged. As Dooley went back to the outboard motor, Lee headed along the shore of the island and emerged from the mangroves into a small bay. She pointed the kayak's prow toward the stranded cabin cruiser, then left the bay and headed into the funnel-shaped cove Dooley had entered earlier that day on his tour with Gamay. Seeing a ripple on the water, Lee shipped her paddle and was rewarded a moment later when a shiny back, scarred by propeller blades, broke the surface. Manatee. She banged off some photos until the lumbering mammal submerged to feed on the bottom. Lee took up her paddle again, heading farther into the cove. The distance between the mangroves diminished from a quarter of a mile to a couple hundred feet. A great blue heron took off with a mighty flap of its long wings. Lee watched the big bird until it was out of sight, then she brought binoculars to bear on a pair of snowy egrets wading in the shallows. Her heart skipped a beat at the flash of pink behind one of them. The egrets moved, and she brought the camera up to her eye. Through the viewfinder, she saw a bird that looked like a flamingo with a duckbill. She snapped off several pictures of the roseate spoonbill, then reviewed the photos. They were all perfect. Lee was smiling when she took up her paddle again. With a few strokes, she sent the kayak toward a weathered gray wooden post that stuck out of the water near the edge of a mangrove. It marked a narrow break in the otherwise impenetrable tangle of roots. The kayak's hull scraped an oyster bed and came to rest on shore. Lee stepped into warm, knee-deep water. Although she knew that Dooley's giant alligator was a fable, she quickly hauled the kayak onto the narrow beach. She grabbed a rucksack that held water and power bars and walked through a tunnel of trees for 100 feet or so before she broke into an open area. A white sandy path wound through the cactus and shrub for a few 100 yards to the other side of the island. A rush of air off the turquoise waters of the Gulf of Mexico cooled Lee's face as the path ended at a barrier beach. She strolled along the beach for a short distance and plunked down on the sand with her back against a sea-silvered driftwood log. A blue-hulled fishing boat was anchored offshore just beyond the line of breakers. Otherwise, she had the beach to herself. She had seen the boat several times in the past week or so, but it had stayed a respectful distance away. She examined it through the zoom lens of her camera, but saw no one on deck. When she had first landed on Bonefish Key months before, Dr. Lee had been advised by Dr. Kane to find a distraction to take her mind off her work. Some scientists avoided burnout by fishing, others by playing chess or reading. A few spent too much time at the dollar bar. The daily kayak trips into the mangroves had been her salvation. The breaks she took each afternoon rejuvenated her, allowing her to work late into the night. With the project nearly at an end, she would miss the remote beauty of the island when she returned to China. She wondered if her government would reward or even acknowledge her labors, or if she would just return to her country practice. She gave in to her weariness and fell asleep. When she awoke, she glanced at her watch. She looked off along the beach and noticed that the blue-hulled boat had vanished. She frowned. She had regained her privacy, but it was time to go back to work. She got up, brushed the sand from her shorts, and headed across the island to her kayak. When Lee broke through the tree canopy, she saw that the kayak was no longer where she had left it on the beach. She set her pack aside, waded out into the water, and visually searched the lagoon. There was no sign of the kayak. Lee turned back to the island, saw blue plastic gleaming in the grass, and let out a sigh of relief. The kayak had been pulled up into the tall grass on one side of the beach. She wondered why anyone would do such a thing, and stepped into the grass to retrieve the kayak. It was a remote spot, and she felt uncomfortable knowing there was someone else on the island. She was pulling the kayak back toward the water when she felt a prickling sensation that had nothing to do with the heat on the back of her neck. She turned and saw a man on the beach, his eyes hidden behind dark sunglasses. He had soundlessly materialized from the scrub and now blocked Lee's way to the water. He was physically frightening. His hardened Asian features seemed to have been hammered on an anvil. His thin-lipped mouth looked as if it could not be pried into a smile with a crowbar. He wore shorts, and the muscles on his arms and legs appeared capable of driving his knuckles or club-like feet through a brick wall. Making him even more formidable was the automatic weapon cradled in his arms. The muzzle was pointed at her heart. Despite her fears, Song Li managed to croak out a question. "Who are you?" she said. "I am the ghost who watches," he said with no change of expression. What nonsense, Lee thought. The man was obviously deranged. She tried to assert control over the situation. "Did you move my kayak?" she asked. She thought she saw a slight nod of the chin. "Then I'd appreciate your help in pulling it back to the water." He smiled for the first time and lowered the gun. Thinking that maybe her bluff had worked, she turned to grab the kayak. "Dr. Lee." Hearing her name called, she knew this was no random encounter. She saw a quick movement out of the corner of her eye as the man raised his gun above his head and brought it down stock first. She felt an explosion at the back of her skull and saw a flash of white, light before the darkness closed in, and she was unconscious before she crashed face down into the mud.